Timothy chapter 1, and we'll proceed with this message that we began this morning. It's our second message in this glorious book. We began a message this morning out of verse number 6, I put thee in remembrance. I put thee in remembrance. We'll begin our reading in verse number 13, because we preached from verses 6 down to verse 12 this morning. We'll pick it up in verses 13 down through the rest of the chapter, verse 18. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. Is that how you pronounce it? I don't know. Who cares? We go on, right? The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. When he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto you that he may find mercy of the Lord. Grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Again, just in case you weren't here this morning, if you mark your Bible, mark the phrase in verse number 6, I put thee in remembrance. Let's pray together. Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to us. Lord, there's so many things you've already done. There's things that you're doing and going to do. We rejoice in all of it. Thank you for this good number coming back to be part of your house tonight and part of this service. I pray that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel. Please forgive me, Lord. Help me, Lord, not to hinder you at all. If there's anything in my heart and life hindering you, forgive me, remove it, get it out of the way. Help us now, I beg of you, and defeat Satan, his evil spirits, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll repeat here, the Romans have begun a major persecution against Christians. Timothy's trying to set things right in the church at Ephesus, and it could be that he's under stress and needing some spiritual encouragement. Paul has been his mentor for several years now, and he's deeply concerned about Timothy, that he does not back down. In the midst of all of this, of these awful circumstances that Paul is in, if you remember going back to last week where he's writing this from, understand that his burden is to get the gospel out. He wanted others to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's concerned about the furtherance of the gospel. Therefore, he's writing to Timothy here to keep going in the midst of opposition. Now, we lifted out a phrase this morning, began it this morning, concluded tonight on I put thee in remembrance. Let me remind you what's going on. When you look at that phrase, at first you might think that he's saying, Timothy, I remember you. But that's not what he's saying here. He's saying there's some things that I'm making you remember. There's some things I'm going to bring up to you that you need to be reminded of. And we're looking at these things that Paul, under the inspiration of the Spirit of God, says, I put thee in remembrance. In other words, Timothy, as I'm getting ready to meet my Maker, there's some things that you never need to forget to keep you going in the midst of opposition. This morning we looked at two of them. Let me go back and tap them on the head. Number one, he said, be put in remembrance of the gifts. Verses 6 and 7, there were four specific ones of them, if you remember. He said, the gift that's in you in verse number 6. He said, the spirit of power in verse number 7. The spirit of love in verse number 7. The spirit of a sound mind in verse number 7. Then secondly, he said, be reminded, Timothy, of the gospel. And under that this morning, we looked at it, that the gospel in verses 8 and 9 is according to the power of God who saved us, called us, purposed it, and keeps us saved. Then secondly, the gospel was made manifest by the appearing of Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared in flesh and he was buried and 3 days later rose again, he was abolishing death and he was bringing to light life and immortality. Now there's a third thing, and this is where we start our message tonight. In verses 8, 13, and 14, he says, I put thee in remembrance of the guidelines. In other words, there's some things here that he was to be reminded that these are the rules, if you will, of how to live the Christian life. Now stay with me here. In these verses before us, the Apostle Paul gives guidelines to young Timothy about some things he is to do because of the gifts and the gospel that he had been entrusted with. Now keep in mind, this is a day of apostasy. As this book is being written, this is a day of apostasy and spiritual declension. Paul is encouraging Timothy to stay the course. He's encouraging Timothy to keep his hand on the plow. He wants the work of God to carry on through Timothy. Therefore, he has some important instructions
to help this young preacher stay with it. Now, this is really what this book is filled with. The book is filled with guidelines. But tonight, just in chapter 1, we're going to tie ourselves down to chapter 1. And I want to give you some specific guidelines just in chapter 1 here, verses 8 down to verse number 18, of what Paul is giving Timothy in order that he stays with it. He doesn't give up. He doesn't quit. He puts his hand on the plow. He refuses to look back. He will not throw in the towel. Are you with me tonight? Here's these guidelines. Guideline number 1 that he was never to forget. It's found in verse number 8, and that is this: be not ashamed. Be not ashamed. Look at verse number 8. He says, Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. Now Paul tells Timothy not to be ashamed of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. And also not to be ashamed of him as the Lord's prisoner. In other words, he is telling Timothy here not to be ashamed of who the Lord Jesus Christ is, what he has done for them, nor of those who are suffering for his name's sake. That's what he's saying here. Now keep in mind, in context, he's speaking of the gospel and how Jesus Christ abolished death and how Jesus Christ brought to light life and immortality. And according to the power of God, he saved us, he called us, he separated us, and he planned it all along. And he's saying, Timothy, here's something to be reminded of. Don't be ashamed of what Jesus Christ means to you. And he's saying, don't be ashamed of me, who is under persecution because of what I preach for his name's sake. Could it be that Timothy was tempted to shy away from a strong stand for Christ during this trying time of persecution? Don't know that, but it is possible. Paul is telling him, don't you be ashamed to be associated with the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been so good to both of us, Timothy. Rather be willing to join in being afflicted for the gospel's sake. He's saying this, Timothy, here's what you need to understand about the guideline. God has been good to you. Jesus Christ has died for you. He has a wonderful testimony, and you are not to be ashamed of that testimony. You are to stand firm for that testimony. You are to stand up for that testimony, and you are not to be ashamed of people who are suffering for his name's sake. Let me tell you something tonight, folks. God's been good to us. Jesus Christ has been great to us, and his testimony is the only reason we're going to heaven tonight. And God help a Christian, whether it be me or you, who's ashamed to identify with Jesus Christ. You know what's interesting? That we are people who should be standing strong for him, and we are not to be ashamed of him today. And may I say this to you? In a world where many Christians get embarrassed to speak about Jesus Christ or to take a stand for him, let us be a child of God who lives a life of total commitment to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. John Huss, he was the pastor of Prague. He was arrested and he was sentenced to be burned at the stake by the church. When he was tied to the stake and set to be burned to ashes, he prayed Psalm 25:2, "Oh my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed." Powerful. He went to death unashamedly because of his identification with Jesus Christ. It's interesting, there was a man who's reading a book several years ago now, apparently about the rebellion years ago in China. And these rebels, these particular rebels had captured one of the mission stations. And they had sealed off every exit to the mission station except one gate, which was left open. Now let me paint this picture in your mind. Here are these rebels. They hate Jesus Christ. There's a mission station, a place where apparently students were being trained for missions. They captured this city. They captured it. They surrounded it. And they plugged up every entrance and exit except one. And that one exit and entrance into the city, they took a cross and they laid it right in the opening. And they went and they told the mission students, they said this. By the way, this is a true story. They said, if you will willingly stomp on the cross, if you will put it under your feet and you will stomp on it, we'll let you go free. The first,
I believe it was nine. No, it was the first seven. It was the first students
came to the cross at the opening. The guns staring right at them. And they stepped up on the cross and they stomped it. And they were set free. But something happened when they came to the eighth girl. Just happened to be a female, this eighth student. She had watched seven students in front of her go to the cross and be ashamed. By the way, it's easy to sit here right now and say, I know what I'd do, I'd walk around it. But you haven't been in that position yet, have you? They stomped on it and walked off. The eighth girl come to the cross. And she did something interesting. Instead of stomping on it, she knelt down beside it. She knelt down by it. And she began to pray. And she prayed that God would give her strength. And when she got off her feet, she came to the cross. And she walked around it. And walked out. And the gunfire went off. And they killed her. The interesting thing about that story is that there were over 90 students behind her. And every last one of them did the same thing. You say, Jody, what's the point? Here's the point. There was one girl who said, I will not be ashamed. And because one was not ashamed, the rest of the group followed suit. You know what that shows you? The influence one person can have. You know what our public school systems need, young people? They need a teenager, maybe from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church, who will say, I will not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. I will not be ashamed of the testimony of my Lord. And I will not be ashamed to be associated with somebody who's suffering for his name's sake. That's what our schools need. That's what our churches need. We need people who will say with the Apostle Paul, interesting, in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God and the salvation of everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. By the way, let me remind you of something. And before we jump on those first seven, have you ever supposed to give a gospel tract to somebody and you were intimidated to do so? And you didn't? I have. I've been there. I'm not proud enough to say, I've given the gospel to every person I'm supposed to. No. Every last one of us have been ashamed of Jesus Christ somewhere in our life. Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I'm saying, here's what Paul's saying. He's saying, Timothy, understand something as I'm speaking to you from this deep, dark dungeon here. He said, I know I'm in bonds because of my identification with Christ. And I understand that apostasy's going on. And I understand that spiritual declension is going on. But I've got some guidelines for you to remember. Don't be ashamed to be identified with Jesus Christ. Don't be ashamed of me as prisoner. You know, one of the most powerful verses in Scripture, of course, again, they're all powerful. How can you say one of the most powerful? They're all powerful. They're all God's Word. Well, listen to this in Hebrews 11:16. But now they desire a better country, that is in heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. Did you hear what I just said? He's speaking about Abraham and Sarah and him. I understand that, but they're children of God. So he's saying the same thing about you. He's saying these people in Hebrews 11, they desire a better city. And he said, God is not ashamed to be called their God. May I say something to you? If anybody has the right to be ashamed, it is my God has the right to be ashamed of me. And yet God says, I proudly stand up and say, that's my boy down there. And I'm telling you, it's time that we see God high and lifted up. And it's time we see the gospel for what it is. And I don't care what's going on in our country and what's going on in our world. Let us say, he's not ashamed of us. God, help me not be ashamed of you. And let's do everything for the cause of Jesus Christ. This is what Paul is saying. He's training this young man. He's pouring his heart out to this boy before he dies. It's interesting to note the fact how the Lord is not ashamed to be called his children's God. Therefore, why should his children be ashamed to say he is our God? He's been so good to us. That's the first guideline. Guideline number two is found in verse number 13. And that is hold fast the form of sound words. The second thing Paul tells Timothy to do is that right there. Hold fast the form of sound words. In other words, he's saying hold on to the words. And the word sound there, he's talking about hold on to the healthy words. Hold on to the uncorrupt words. Hold on to the wholesome words. Anybody know what he's talking about here? Sound familiar? Uncorrupt, wholesome. These words that are pure. He's saying, Timothy, he said, I'm telling you something. The gospel I've just given you, the word of God that's in your hands, the idea he's saying here is hold on to it. Get a hold of it and don't ever let it go, son. He was to do this with faith and love. He was to believe the wholesome words. He was to love the wholesome words. He was to obey the wholesome words. And he was never to let them go. You know, in the same way, we live in a world where many are taking hold of all kinds of things. You know what I'm talking about. There's people reaching out for everything, trying to get a hold of this, hold of this, hold of this. You know, there's a message in the book of Genesis that's been on my heart a little while. I don't know when and if I'll ever preach it, but it's called What Are You Holding On To? It's from the life of Jacob. He came into this world holding on to his brother's heel. And he went through life holding on to his brother's birthright and holding on to his deceptive spirit until one day he wrestled with a man. And when he started wrestling with this man, which was the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember what that man said? He said, turn me loose. I'm paraphrasing. See, now he's got a hold of something he's been looking for all of his life. He had a hold of God now. And I'm telling you something. Paul's saying, Timothy, he said, there's something that's been given to you. And he said, it's wholesome words. It's healthy words. It's pure words. And he's saying, number two, guideline, son, you grab a hold of them and you refuse to let them. Powerful. I'm telling you. I believe Paul knew what he's talking about, don't you? In a world where people are grabbing different things, some are grabbing entertainment, grabbing this, grabbing money, grabbing immoral relationships, grabbing this, grabbing that, grabbing that, grabbing that. Why don't we learn to take hold of the wholesome words of God and allow the book of God to change our life? Amen. Then guideline number three, wearing myself out up here. It's all right. I'm glad I wear myself out like this. I'm telling you, this has got a hold of my heart. The Apostle Paul, nearing the end of his life, he knows his head's getting ready to roll. Maybe he didn't know what death he was going to have, but he knew he was getting ready to meet his maker. And he's saying, I've got to get some things off my chest before I go. He said, my days are numbered, I know it, but here's a young man, and I want to pour my heart out into him, and I want to tell him some things before I leave. He's saying, boy, don't you be ashamed of your God. Don't you be ashamed of those who are not ashamed of their God. And secondly, you take the wholesome words, and you hold on to them. Then there's a third thing, verse number 14, keep that good thing committed to thy trust. Paul also tells Timothy to take the deposit given to him. That word committed means a deposit, something that's been placed into your trust. And he tells him to take the deposit given to him and watch it. That word watch, keep, means to watch and guard. He's saying watch it, guard it by the Holy Ghost dwelling in you. In other words, Timothy was to recognize that he had been given a precious deposit in the sound words of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was to take this deposit very seriously and make sure he passed it down purely to the next generation. You know, in the same way, we who are saved have had a spiritual deposit made into our account. It's the truth of God's precious word. And this deposit is to be guarded with extreme caution in the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. We should take it very seriously that this deposit has been made into our account. And let us pray that we will stay yielded to the power of the Holy Spirit and guard it for the next generation. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Brother Scotty, Brother Fields, Brother Bob, if you wouldn't mind just come up here and stand just a moment. I want to give you something to think about when we're talking about keep that which is committed under thy trust. You're not going to have to say a word. Just stand right here, okay? Now here's what he's saying. He's saying, Timothy, when you got saved, he said that gospel was given to you. It was deposited into your spiritual bank account. And he's saying, now what I want you to do is I want you to keep it. Guard it. Watch it. Take a hold of it. Don't be ashamed of it. Why? So what somebody did for you, you now can do for others. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's say that this is the Lord Jesus Christ. We know that's far-fetched. I know that. Let's say I picture the Lord Jesus Christ tonight. I am truth. I am pure. I am whole. And I have given myself to you. And say this is your ancestors. Say this is somebody who's in your lineage who did what Paul is preaching about. Now, I don't know if it was a preacher. I don't know if it was a daddy. I don't know if it was a granddaddy. I don't know who it was, but I guarantee you everybody who's been saved has somebody before them who kept wholesome words. So they'll give them to you unadulterated. And he's saying when you got saved, the Holy Spirit of God passed it down to you and you take hold of this. He deposited that to your account. Now don't be ashamed of it, Mr. Fields. I'm talking about take hold of it, Mr. Fields. Don't let it go, Mr. Fields. You watch it, you guard it, you protect it, and you pass it to the next generation and you see it as a deposit. And I'm talking about, as I'm spitting all over them up here, you keep it, you watch it, you guard it so you can pass it down here. And now here's you. Now what are you going to do with it? You're to keep it. You're to watch it. You're to guard it because somebody is down here in your lineage. Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Hope it didn't scare you. What am I saying? These are powerful thoughts. He's saying, Timothy, I want you to do something with this deposit that's been given to you. He's saying, I want you to keep it. I want you to guard it. I want you to watch it. Because there's somebody coming in your footsteps. I put thee in remembrance. What? What do you want me to remember? Remember the gifts, boy. Remember the gospel. Remember the guidelines. And there's a fourth thing he tells him. He says, I want you to remember the groups. And we see this in verses 15 and following. He says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. And when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. And how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus thou knowest very well. Now you say, Jody, what do you mean by the groups? Do you not see the two obvious groups he's speaking of here? There's a group that turned away from him and there's a group that ministered to him. Now let me show you what I mean. These groups are divided in how they treated Paul during this time in his life. See, being identified with Paul during this time was a dead giveaway with what a person believed. And when they came to take Paul captive, and since, what will others do? What they do will show you what kind of people they are. Now let's look at these two groups together. First of all is the group that he identifies in verse number 15 as those who turned away. Now the first group Paul mentions are the people who turned away from him during this time of his imprisonment. In other words, there were those who were ashamed to stand with Paul. They rather went along with the flow of the day. They did not want to take a stand for the one who was suffering for Jesus' sake. Now get this, folks. In when he's talking about Asia here, now get this, these are the same people that Paul had spent himself to get the gospel to. These are the same people that he longed for Christ to be formed in them. And now these same people are ashamed to be associated with him. You know, it's common sense to know that this group of people still exist today. They still exist today. The group that is on board as long as it doesn't cost them anything. The group who will support as long as there's no opposition. But as soon as opposition arises, I don't know about that place over there. I don't know him. Why? I don't know what you're talking about. They're still in existence. Anybody know what I'm talking about, folks? You understand what Paul's saying? He's saying, Timothy, there is a group of people out there who's already done what I've told you not to do. They've already been ashamed. They've turned away from me. They are ashamed to be associated with me. Then he turns to the second group. And that is in verses 16 to 18. That's the house of Onesiphorus. Now he's talking about this one man, but this one man affected his household. He mentions the house of this one man who helped him during this time of imprisonment. And that one man was Onesiphorus. He was a man who was not ashamed to be associated with Paul during this time. But rather he relieved him. See right here where it says, this thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away. Verse 16, the Lord give mercy to the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. That word refresh means he relieved him. He relieved him. Understand this. And then the Bible says that in verse number 17 that he sought me out very diligently and found me. You know what that means? That means it was hard to find Paul. You couldn't just go and say, hey, where's Paul at? Well, he's right over there. He had to seek him out. He had to really actively say, where's Paul? Where's Paul? Where's Paul? And he did not quit until he found him. He sought him diligently. What he's saying is, Paul, Timothy, I want you to understand something. While there are those who are ashamed, there's also those who are not. And he's saying, here's a man who's been a true friend to me, son. Now get this, he was a true friend to this dear soldier of the cross nearing the end of his journey. Onesiphorus would not turn his back on Paul at this time. He was there to stay. Now folks, listen. Now stay with me now. Stay with me. I've got a half a sheet of notes right here. It is. Put yourself in the place of Paul. They come and take you captive for preaching the Christ who has saved and changed your life. Paul's not a criminal. He's in prison for what I'm doing tonight. And he's in that dungeon for what I'm doing tonight. Those who should stay with him have turned their backs on him and are ashamed of him at this time. Now, let's just put this into perspective. I trust this would never happen. But let's just say that it happened here. Let's say that they broke into this church, they took me captive, and every one of you disowned me and said, we don't even know him. That's what's happening to Paul. I'm talking about the people he's poured his heart out into. I'm talking about the people he's given his life to minister to. And at this trying time, he says, they've all forsook me. Every one of them. But then all of a sudden, there's one in this congregation, just one, who stands up and says, where'd they take him? I'll tell you one thing, that's my pastor. Where'd they take him? They say, well, I think he might be in Chattanooga. You go there, I'm not there. Where'd they take him? Where'd they take him? Well, I think he's right up the road, maybe an hour or two. You go there, he's not there. Where'd they take him? Who is he? He's my pastor. He's my pastor. That's who he is. I'm saying this to you. What would it do for you if when everybody turned against you, one of them stood up and said, I'll stand with you? What would that do for you? Let me tell you what it'd do for you. It'd recharge your battery. That's what it'd do. And all I'm telling you is this. Could it be that Paul is telling Timothy, he's saying, son, there's two groups of people in this life. There are those who are ashamed, talking about Christians now, and those who are not. And he said, I'm telling you, don't be like the first group. Be like Onesiphorus. Be faithful to the end. Let me ask you a question. In this message all day today, we have noticed Paul pouring his heart out to this young man. He is interested in making sure Timothy remembers some things and he never forgets it. Those things are the gifts, the gospel, the guidelines, and the groups. He wants Timothy to keep the plow in his hand. He wants Timothy to carry on the work. He wants Timothy to grab the baton and run unashamedly for his God. And may I say in the same way, let us all be reminded that God has given us great gifts. He has given us the gospel. He has given us guidelines to live by. And he's given us groups to illustrate that you have a choice to make. Now I ask you some questions and we're coming to a close. That doesn't mean you are. What group are you a member of tonight? Are you a member of Phygellus and Hermogenes? The association of the ashamed ones? Or are you a member of the house of Onesiphorus who says, God helping me, I will not be ashamed. Amen. This is the message. And may God in heaven drive this in my heart and may he drive it in yours. Let's bow for a word of prayer, shall we? Our Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you for your mercy in our lives. We thank you for this time that you've given us. We thank you for the power of your word. Help us now to draw the net. May the will of God be done. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they're prepared here. Let me ask you some questions. Have you been saved by the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ? If you've never been saved by God's glorious gospel, tonight is a great night to accept him as your Savior. Why don't you come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel? Well, maybe you're here tonight and you say, Jody, God is speaking to my heart about taking a stand. He's speaking to my heart about living unashamedly for my Lord and his testimony. I don't know how God may be speaking to you. But let me tell you something, folks. You know what we're preaching for tonight? We're preaching for the Lord, his glory. On the flip side of it, we're preaching for one person. See, only one person made a difference. It was Onesiphorus. And could it be that God is whispering in your ear, will you be the next Onesiphorus? Will you be the next Onesiphorus? Will you be the next Onesiphorus? Will you live unashamedly? I don't know how God's dealing with you. However it is, let us do business with him. Let's all stand together, shall we? Our Father, take it, use it, break it. Honor yourself tonight. Help us to rejoice in what you've given us, to live according to your will and plan. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Brother Mike's going to sing in just a moment. As soon as he does, if you need to do business with the Lord, you need to be saved, you need to come and say, God, help me to be an Onesiphorus. Whatever it is, why don't you leave your place and why don't you come as he sings. Come on now, folks.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take my cross and follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me.
softly, I'd like to ask Brother Bob and Miss Lindsay if they wouldn't mind just to come and stand right here in front of me just a moment. I want to talk to the teenagers just a moment. If you're a teenager, I'd like you to look right up here, please. You're a teenager. This is a message that burdens my own heart. I need to do a better job. But I'm going to tell you something, you teenagers. God has given me a burden for you. I love you. For the whole church, don't get me wrong, but I just feel impressed with this particular message about Onesiphorus to try to apply it a little bit further with the teenagers, with the children. If you're a child, you can look up here just a moment. If you're a child or a teenager, will you accept the challenge to be like Paul, to be like Onesiphorus? Will you say, God, if you help me, I'll stand up for you. I'll stand up for you. I'll do something for you. Oh, if just one teenager would make that commitment, Brother Bob, Miss Lindsay, what would that do? They're here. You understand that this is the youth pastor and his dear wife. God has given them a love for you too. Now I want to challenge you teenagers. I don't want anybody doing this for show. Nobody. Nobody. If you say, Jody, in my heart, God's speaking to me saying, be an Onesiphorus. Be an Onesiphorus. Be an Onesiphorus. If you really mean this, you really mean it. It could be one. It could be ten. Listen, what matters to me is that you're following the Lord. I don't want anybody to feel pressure from this. Nobody. If you're a teenager and you say, Jody, God's speaking to me. God is speaking to me. And I want to commit myself to be unashamed. As soon as he begins to sing the next verse, I want you to leave your place. And I want you to come stand right here with Mr. Bob and Miss Lindsay. And I want you to say that by you coming, you're saying, God, I want to live unashamed. I want to be an Onesiphorus. This is what God is speaking to me. And I want to follow through with this. As he sings, this next verse, as he sings, if you're a teenager, maybe you're a child, you'd like to come. Whatever, a child, teenager, why don't you leave your place as soon as he begins to sing and come. As he sings, come back. You say, this is me. This is what I want to do. This is my burden. I want to be a teenager. I want to be a young person. I want to be a child. I want to be somebody from the balcony down. You say, Jody, I want to be somebody who's going to stand for God. I want to be an Onesiphorus. I want to be somebody who lives unashamedly for the cause of Christ. I don't want to be somebody who just drifts off and says, I don't even know him. I want to be a teenager. I want to be a young person who says, count on me, God. Count on me. If you need somebody to say something for you, I'll do it. If you need somebody to give the gospel tract to that person, tell me. I'll go give it to him. I'll be unashamed. I'll be unashamed. If you're still standing, I want you to look this way. I didn't have this in my notes, but I'm trying to sense the leading of the Spirit of God. I'm going to tell you something. Every one of us need this message. Every one of us. But if God will get a hold of these teenagers' hearts, there's no telling what will happen. I want every one of you to know something. God has given me such a burden for you. I was reached as a young person. I started preaching as a teenager. God wants to do big things with your life. Let him have it. Give him your life. Say, I'll be Onesiphorus. God sends me to a prison. I will not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I will meet my God unashamed. I'm telling you, if one person, just one person, will grasp what Paul is trying to tell Timothy, just one person, there's no telling what'll happen for the cause of Jesus Christ. Man, I feel good tonight. Praise God. I'm telling you, I know they say there's no tears in heaven. I believe that's tears of sadness, because when I feel the sweet presence of the Lord, I cry like a baby. And I'm crying like a baby. I remember Mystic Carrier, Brother Scotty, she told me one time, she said something along those lines. I know there's no tears in heaven, but she said, I tell you, she said, I just feel when I see my Savior, I'm just going to cry like a baby. And she's seen him. She's with him. And I'm telling you, I don't know what the future holds. I don't know what's going to happen in America. I don't know what's going to take place. But I know this, our God's testimony is still important. And Jesus Christ, his testimony saved our soul. And I'm telling you, he wants young people to say, quit going with the crowd. Stand up and say, I'll shine bright for Jesus Christ. This is what it's about. It's one of those services. I don't want to go home. I'm telling you, I don't want to go home. I'm telling you, I feel a great spirit here tonight. Praise God. Amen. I'm telling you. Preacher, I want you to do me a favor if you don't mind. These teenagers, look at them. Aren't they precious? Precious. I want you to come right here if you wouldn't mind. This will be our closing prayer. He's going to grab him a microphone here and turn it on. Hey, wouldn't you like to have Moses pray for you? Amen. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to this. As soon as preacher says amen, you're dismissed. And I'm telling you, I might run home tonight. I probably won't, you know, but I might. And we're going to ask our preacher to pray. If you're a first-time guest, please, please, please take your card by the Welcome Center. Thank you for being here tonight. Be back Wednesday night. And let's come pray for next Sunday as well. God bless you. Thank you.
Let's pray. You that know how to pray for these precious young people, boys and girls, that they'll yield their life to the call of God and determine they're going to stand for Jesus and go his way. Just bless young people, just commit yourself right now. Say, Lord, here's my life. And take me and use me for your glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this service tonight, the good songs, the great preaching. And Lord, help us to take this message to not be ashamed of Jesus. Lord, I pray for these young people that I know it's hard today and to put up with all the sin on every hand. And Lord, I just pray that somehow, Lord, you'll just encamp around about each one of these precious teen boys and girls and these young people, God, and give them Holy Spirit power. May they get in the Word of God every day. May they pray. May they keep themselves pure. May they be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, determined they're going to go God's way, going to live according to the book. Lord, fill them with your Holy Spirit now as they make this commitment to stand unashamedly for Jesus Christ. Lord, may they realize that this is a commitment for all of their life. Every step of the way from now till the Lord calls them home, I pray they'll be yielded to Jesus Christ and doing the will of God from the heart. Fill them with your Spirit. Give them a sense of your presence. May they live in the Word and by the Word. Now, Lord, dismiss us now with thy blessing, and use these precious teens in the future till Jesus comes, I pray. Amen and amen.